And now we're going to move from domestic issues to the top international story of 2007 and beyond. We're talking about the war in Iraq. Two reporters are going to give us an insider's perspective on covering the conflict. From our NPR bureau in Baghdad, we've got reporter Jonathan Blakely, plus journalist and filmmaker Brian Palmer. He is a regular contributor to Mother Jones magazine. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hi, Farai.
Hello, Farai.
So, Jonathan, let me ask you, you are part of the NPR team, what are your duties and how have you been adjusting to being in Iraq?
Well, this is my first time out here, and I've got an eight-week stay, which ends just after the 4th of January. It wasn't an easy adjustment at first. I had been to Ghana, so I know what it's like to be in a smaller country like this, but you know, in Ghana, you didn't hear bombs going off and shooting, you know, every couple of minutes. So it's been a bit of an adjustment. My main job here is not necessarily reporting, but I'm actually running our bureau here. I have a staff of about 14 local Iraqis that I'm in charge of here.
How important are locals to the job that U.S. news organizations have to do?
Well, there wouldn't be the news that you're getting out of Iraq if it weren't for the locals we have that are risking their lives out there. They can't, for instance, go around with large microphones and cameras, you know, unless they're escorted, you know, but they do go out sometimes with mini discs and what have you. But, you know, they're putting their lives out on the line, going places that we can't go, even if it's just up the road from where the NPR compound is here in Baghdad. They're absolutely key in getting all the news you're hearing from NPR and all the other news organizations out.
Let me turn to you, Brian. We've had you on before solo and then also with some of the people you've been speaking with for a documentary that you're doing on Marines that have gone over to Iraq. What have you seen on your trips and how does that relate to what you've been hearing now as the war continues to unfold?
What I saw on my three trips to Iraq, 2004, 2005, and 2006, was Marines doing the best that they could to try and execute their security and stability mission, but really in kind of a policy and strategy vacuum. What I hear now back in the States is a little bit disconcerting. It sort of amounts to kind of moving the goalpost. It's like, you know, the goalposts are sort of imminently portable. So now we focus on, you know, very important things, decrease in civilian casualties, decrease in U.S. military casualties, but it seems that some of the more sort of long-term metrics that the administration was talking about, political reconciliation, you know, the nuts and bolts things like increasing electricity production, oil production, you know, keeping the price of food low, limiting inflation, that sort of stuff has gone by the wayside.
Do the Marines ever talk about that, or do they just say, you know what, I'm here to do my job, and I can't be worried about those people in Washington?
Well, 97% of what I would hear from the Marines that I spent time with, and I spent time mostly with staff sergeants and below, so, you know, the young guys who are out on the streets actually trying to do their mission and come home safely. Not a lot of focus on politics. And I have to say that from 2004 to 2006, and the Marines I keep up with now in 2007, I think that there is a kind of a resignation. And Marines will fall back on what Marines do. They say, you know, it is our job to go out there and follow our orders and try and execute our TTP, our tactics, techniques, and procedures as best as we can and move on, and we don't dwell on the big picture stuff. But privately, you know, either without the reporter around or when my camera is down, people would, you know, express some frustration that this was kind of, you know, a Sisyphean sort of a struggle.
Now, Jonathan, has race ever entered into any of the scenarios that you've been in, either with soldiers, government officials, fellow journalists, locals? You know, both of you are African-American. How's that played out, if at all, for you, Jonathan?
Well, I would say, well, first of all, the staff here, at least here at NPR, they've given we have a rotation of reporters and producers and chiefs that come in and out. And they've, I found out very soon that they give us all nicknames. And my nickname is Ali. And some of the staffers were telling me that they didn't even know what my real name was because they called me Ali. And one of the reasons they called me Ali is because I have a darker skin complexion. And they say that I look like some of the Iraqis that you would see now. As a matter of fact, my nickname was Ali Basri because they thought that I looked like somebody from Basra. Go figure. I was asking them when I first got here, you know, what do you know about African Americans, what have you? And candidly, some of the staff were saying that, well, we know what we see on TV. Now, the Iraqi staff was saying that the people of color, Hispanics and what have you, soldiers that they run into, they know they're nice. But the average Iraqi just knows what they see on TV. And quite frankly, some of the stuff that they see on TV, they get in any American movie that you've seen, they've seen it. And some of the images they have of African-Americans are not that flattering.
When you think about this, Brian, in terms of the breadth of reporting that Americans have done on war, what historical comparisons can you make to Vietnam?
That's really, really interesting and sort of bedeviling. I mean, in Vietnam, there was much greater access to all kinds of things. I mean, I was just reading a quote by one of my idols, Gloria Emerson, who was in Vietnam in 1970, 71, 72, and she said, "We used helicopters like taxis. There was no embedding like there is now. There was no vetting process. So there was much greater access to pretty much the range of both combat activities and support activities. Now, you pretty much, if you want to be up close and personal with U.S. troops, it's a pretty kind of controlled situation, and you need to do that through the Department of Defense and through the various offices, CPIC in Baghdad, which maybe Jonathan knows a bit more about.
I'm all too familiar with CPIC, yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, very briefly, protocol and paperwork.
I would say so. I mean, earlier in the conflict, I think it was much easier to just be a unilateral or, you know, a freelancer, as we call it, someone not attached to a major news organization, be in Baghdad and say, hey, you know, First Cavalry person, colonel, can I hook up with your unit? Now I think that since the war/occupation isn't necessarily going the way that commanders would like it to go, I think that there are, greater sensitivities about allowing journalists access.
Well, gentlemen, we want to thank you so much for sharing your time with us. We have been speaking with journalist and filmmaker Brian Palmer, a regular contributor to Mother Jones, and NPR's Jonathan Blakely, a producer in our Baghdad bureau.